Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starr.
Satsas, that's right. I love this American.
And gentlemen, it is Todd Starnes. That's me, your voice of truth and hope across this great nation. Welcome, everybody. Wow. I'm telling you, put on the big boy pants, get some Red Bull, pour that on your Fruit Loops, and buckle up, because it is going to be a wild ride for the next 4 years. You know, I was talking with a lot of folks at church on Sunday, and in between the two services, we have coffee. You have like little coffee bars set out all over the church, and not bar in the bar sense. We don't have booze. We're not Episcopalians, we're crying out loud, but we are Baptist, and so we have donuts and coffee, and you have a little bit of fellowship time, and in the fellowship time, folks are always coming over, and I'm always happy to have conversations about politics and how things are going. What do you think about Matt Gaetz? What do you think about Pete Hegseth? And we've been having those kinds of conversations. And I want to step back for a moment. And regardless of, you know, all the allegations out there surrounding some of Trump's nominees, you need to understand this one thing, all right? And this will hopefully help you understand where all of this is going. Donald Trump is disrupting business as usual. And the people that he will be selecting, and we'll probably get some more names later today. All of these people are chosen because they are disruptors. You may not like their language, how they live their life. Most of the people don't approve of some of the things Trump has done in his life. It doesn't matter, because those things are not relevant to being able to disrupt the federal government as it now is. So those are the kinds of people that President Trump is going after. So I don't want you to be terribly alarmed by any of this. But Todd, have you seen the horrible things they've been saying about? Yes, I know. And I get that. And they are saying terrible things about the president's nominees, and they're terrified of these nominees, and they should be. That's the entire point here. We want people that will cause angst among all of the folk that are out there in the federal government, many of whom only go to work physically one day out of the week, and they're still drawing their entire paycheck. So a lot going on today on the program. We're going to be checking in over at the America First Policy Institute. Man, do they have a huge gala over the weekend at Mar-a-Lago. Also, Oklahoma State Superintendent Ryan Walters is going to drop by. By the way, another disruptor. And many of you are fans of Jonathan Cahn, the New York Times bestseller. And Jonathan Cahn is of the belief that Donald Trump actually plays into biblical prophecy. And he's got a new book out called The Dragon's Prophecy. And we're going to talk to him a little bit later on. That's going to be a fascinating conversation. So I'm looking forward to you hearing that. All right. We've got to start out with Joe and Mika and Morning Schmo over at MSDNC. So their people are very alarmed over this, and there are people on both sides of the aisle that have problems with what happened apparently this weekend down at Palm Beach, Florida. So the story is that Joe and Mika said they were granted an audience with President Trump. And they went down there. They haven't talked to the guy in, what, 7 years? How do you host a national cable television morning show and you not have any sort of communication with Donald J. Trump? How is that possible? We've had Trump on this radio show, which, by the way, now has a larger audience than MSDNC. We've had Trump on, what, a half a dozen times at least? Trump's been very gracious to our program. He loves you guys. So anyway, Joe and Mika are out there, and here's how they described it, going down and visiting Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. Cut number 14, please.
Over the past week, Joe and I have heard from so many people, from political leaders to regular citizens, deeply dismayed by several of President-elect Trump's cabinet selections, and they are scared. Last Thursday, we expressed our own concerns on this broadcast and even said we would appreciate the opportunity to speak with the president-elect himself. On Friday, we were given the opportunity to do just that. Joe and I went to Mar-a-Lago to meet personally with President-elect Trump. It was the first time we have seen him in 7 years.
Now, we talked about a lot of issues, including abortion, mass deportation, threats of political retribution against political opponents and media outlets. We talked about that a good bit. And it's going to come as no surprise to anybody who watches this show, has watched it over the past year or over the past decade, that we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of issues, and we told him so.
What we did agree on was to restart communications. My father often spoke with world leaders with whom he and the United States profoundly disagreed. That's a task shared by reporters and commentators alike. We had not spoken to President Trump since March of 2020, other than a personal call Joe made to Trump on the morning after the attempt on his life in Butler, Pennsylvania. In this meeting, President Trump was tearful. He was upbeat. He seemed interested in finding common ground with Democrats on some of the most divisive issues. And for those asking why we would go speak to the president-elect during such fraught times, especially between us, I guess I would ask back, why wouldn't we?
All right. I got a lot to say about this. So first of all, they're the ones that instigated this call. And I'll get to why they did that in just a moment. But she acts like it was sort of a happy-go-lucky. First of all, I don't think they even got to talk to Trump. I think they had to go through several layers of people. And when they finally got to Trump, I guarantee you this is what happened.
Mr. Trump, Mr. Trump, this is Mika. Joe, get over here. We're so sorry, Mr. Trump. We're so sorry. Can we try to make things better? Joe, get over here! We're really sorry for calling you a Nazi. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to be a cashier down at Kroger.
That's what I think happened today. I think that Mika broke down and realized, holy cow, we are about to lose our jobs. So the New York Times has a piece out, and I'm just shocked that the New York Times has this story up, but here's the headline. Viewers flee MSDNC and flock to Fox News in wake of election. So primetime viewership at MSDNC has fallen, get this, 53% since October. They've lost over half their audience, people. They've lost over half their audience, and they very well may lose the other half just by going down and visiting Donald Trump. So, look, Donald Trump is a gracious man. And he said, sure, come on down, and, you know, we'll be happy to visit. And so they did. But what I find fascinating about all of this, Donald Trump is a good and decent and gracious man. But Joe and Mika really stepped in it here. And I know a lot of you are really upset. How could Trump do something like that? He's a bigger man. Well, he is a bigger man. He really is. He's got a big heart, and he is a forgiving person. He does demand loyalty, and I think all of us out there in positions of some authority or some leadership, we would want the same thing among our people, right? We would want loyalty. But what happened here, and this is my thinking, is that this is not meant to be a kumbaya moment for Donald Trump and Joe and Mika. What Trump did was he actually exposed Joe and Mika for who they really are. Because think about this for a minute. What have they been doing for the past, what, how many years since, what, 2015? They've been talking about how Trump is evil. He's the Antichrist. He's Satan. He's Hitler. His followers are Nazis. I mean, it's just over and over and over again. Nobody wants to hear that as they're trying to eat their Fruit Loops. And they have spent countless hours on MSDNC convincing their viewers that Trump is Hitler and all the rest of us are just, I don't know, barefoot fascist. Within that context, understand this, ladies and gentlemen. Joe and Mika just admitted that they accepted an invitation to Hitler, from Hitler, to go to his residence and drink iced tea with Hitler. Now, that says more about Mika and Joe than it does about Donald Trump. Lost in all this media coverage is that Trump's gracious invitation actually exposed Joe and Mika for who they really are. We got to look at their innards, the dark innards of Joe and Mika. And what did we discover? We discovered that at the end of the day, they're nobodies. They're just a pair of groveling grifters, ladies and gentlemen. And they have no moral center. Otherwise, why would you drink a refreshing glass of iced tea on Hitler's front porch? Who does that? Now, Todd, they were just joshing. No. Let me say this about Joe and Mika and all the rest of them, because you're going to see a lot of this, right? You're going to see a lot of people trying to make the mea culpas. Honestly, I don't think Trump ought to set foot on MSDNC. I really don't, but that's just me. What they have done to this man, I would contend the rhetoric coming from Joe and Mika's mouths led to not one but two assassination attempts on Donald Trump. I mean, again, if you're just asking me here. But at the end of the day, who are Joe and Mika? They host a morning show that nobody watches on a failing cable television network that's already lost half its audience since Election Day. So understand why Joe and Mika were there in the first place. They weren't going there to apologize. And honestly, if I'd have been Trump, if I were Trump, and I am not, but again, Trump is the bigger man. If that was me, I would say, you know what, Joe, Mika, I'm happy to meet with you. But first, you have to sit there on your morning show and you have to apologize and retract every single lie that you have said about me. And then I'm happy to meet with you. That's what they should have done. They did not do that. Because, again, that's not why they were there. They were really not there to apologize. I suspect what happened was the bosses at MSDNC, which, by the way, Comcast getting ready to offload MSDNC, and a lot of people, including Joe and Mika, could be out of work. And at the end of the day, Mika could be, I don't know, slinging hash down at the Walmart or the Waffle House. And Joe could be, I don't know, pumping gas down at the Schlitz. No, wait, that's beer. What's the other? Oh, Sheets. Thank you. I'm sorry. It's Monday. Bear with me. So they realize their jobs are on the line here. They're like, holy cow. And by the way, they say over half the, they say Trump got what, 70 some odd million votes. No, there's a lot more than that. They're still changing votes from Republican to Democrat in a couple of states out there. I will talk about that a little bit later. But let me wrap up this thought here on Joe and Mika. If they weren't there to apologize, what were they there for? Well, I'm going to tell you. They were there to kiss Trump's ring. I don't know, Dylan. He could have said, you have to kiss my butt. I don't know. They may have. They're so desperate, they would have. But their job was to go down there and kiss that ring and beg President-elect Trump to make them relevant again. Now, I believe that Donald Trump can fix a lot of stuff. I think he truly can make America great again. But I don't think there's any way, barring a miracle from Almighty God, that MSDNC can be relevant again. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. We're going to be taking your calls. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, hang on tight because we're heading into one of the most critical elections this nation's ever seen. And let's be honest, there's no guarantee it's going to go your way. We've already seen how far the radical left will go to push their agenda. If Kamala Harris takes the White House, you can expect more government control, higher taxes, and a full-blown assault on your freedoms. The stakes could not be higher, and you need to make it a priority to shield yourself. Gold is already up 21% this year and still climbing. This is your golden opportunity to fortify your savings. Text GOLDEN to 24999. And my friends at Priority Gold, with over two decades of experience and thousands of five-star reviews, will send you a free gold investor guide. Priority Gold makes it easy to diversify into physical gold, silver, and platinum, but you gotta act fast. Text GOLDEN to 24999 for your free guide. Keep your retirement golden. Text GOLDEN to 24999 now. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Todd Stearns radio program. So happy to have you with us today, and thank you for listening to us noon to 3 Eastern. Let's go to Eads, Tennessee. Amy is listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Amy. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Todd. I just love your show so much. I had to call in again and just tell you that I think that Mika and Joe's desperate plea for relevance is why they went to Mar-a-Lago. The allure of Mar-a-Lago and the success and, you know, quite frankly, the shock that the whole nation on the left is in, I think they're waking up. Even the New York Times and other papers are saying we've got to be, you know, we're losing our business model because we're not relevant to the American people. And this election was the biggest proof in the pudding. And I don't think Joe and Mika need a job. I don't think they will be slinging hamburgers or, you know, pumping gas. I think that they've got, if they're smart, they have plenty of money. They made plenty of money. Maybe their investment portfolio can sustain them, hopefully. But I don't feel like they're worried about their jobs per se. I think they did it as more of a, we want to be there too because we like a winning team.
You know, I've seen this mentality, Amy, and there's a local business, and I don't want to dwell on this, but there was a flower shop in the Memphis area, and they went out of their way to say, if you're a Trump supporter, we don't want your business. And look, I appreciate that. Okay, fine. That's, you know, good to me. I just think that's a bad business model. But among these leftists, Amy, their ideology is so important to them that if you don't agree with what they believe, you don't exist. And even if it means killing their business, you know, if and that's what's happening at MSDNC, over 50% of their audience has just left. They've got nothing left.
Yeah, they didn't learn anything from Bud Light. And, you know, people don't realize if you're in the business of marketing to the masses, leave your own beliefs out of it. You cannot turn 50% or more, now more, of the market share away because you don't believe, you know, you don't like Trump. So TDS is real. I've never seen anything like this is the most, I feel like we're lucky to have lived during this generation of what's going on because it's almost unbelievable. I mean, I cannot believe where we've come from 2016.
I think what's going to happen is the historians will look back on this second Trump presidency as a transformational event for the country, much like FDR's was from a negative position where really the government grew massively under FDR and then again under LBJ. I think you're going to watch the government literally shrink back to the size it needs to be under Donald Trump.
Yeah, and the culture shift is happening. You can see the NFL players out on the field doing the Trump dance and at the fight, the UFC fights, they're doing the Trump dance and blacks are hugging the whites. I mean, Trump will reunite this country, and he's already doing it and picking the cabinet he's picked, stellar picks, by the way, at light speed. Sends a big message to the left that he's serious, he's already working, and
that's it.
We're going up, and we're going to go up from there and get on or get left out.
Amy, I got to get on or I'm going to get left out here. We got to take a break. Thank you for calling in. What do you think about Trump's pick so far, ladies and gentlemen? Winners, losers, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Stick around. The story of MyPillow is a testament to faith and transformation. Mike Lindell, once battling addiction, found a new path when he embraced faith and began following Jesus. In gratitude, Mike is excited to share an exclusive offer with our listeners. Right now, the standard MyPillow is available for just $14.88, a savings that's too good to pass up. There's a limit of 10 per customer, so don't wait to take advantage of this amazing deal now with promo code STARNS. Mike believes God gave him the idea for MyPillow in a dream, and it's designed with your comfort in mind. The pillow holds its shape and adapts perfectly to your unique sleep position, helping keep your neck aligned for the best night's sleep. And there's more. Take home a four-piece kitchen set for only $25. Enjoy the new mattress topper at $99.99 or pick up the luxurious MyPillow bed sheet starting at $49.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock huge discounts. Don't miss out. Order today. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you may be wondering, where is the video feed of the Todd Stern Show? Well, we are dealing with an electrical crisis. Ben Dieter, is it fair to call it a crisis now that we're dealing with here at the talk radio bunker?
I mean, you're short of doing the show without a shirt. So, it's that warm.
Okay, that's inappropriate.
I hate to be too descriptive, but it's warm.
So last Thursday, we had an issue with the AC going out, and so the AC people came down, and they're very nice folks, and they came and they said, no, the AC's fine, but your breaker's broken. So we reached out, you need an electrician. So we called the electrician, and the electrician came, and they replaced the breakers, and we still have no AC. And now, Ben Dieter, we're being told by the air conditioning people that just came during the commercial break, and they said they replaced the wrong breakers.
And unlike Whoopi Goldberg's account, this isn't because you're a conservative, Todd.
So it's 90 degrees here, and we're trying to keep the lights off and everything as cool as possible because it's hotter than blue blazes in here.
So the conundrum, because everybody driving in their cars right now are asking, why doesn't one simply roll down every window or pull down the windows, open up the windows in your building?
And you want
to
know why?
You say
and,
what?
Well, the reason there's one drawback to owning a radio station because hornets and wasps are attracted to our signals or something. So that's always a big issue. So we would rather not have the hornets in here.
Mm-hmm. And we opened the windows for about 10 minutes and we had four hornets. Yeah, so pick your death.
Yeah.
Do you want to die from heat exhaustion or die by a billion stings of bees?
But if there's an electrician who's a conservative in the Memphis area. Mayday! Mayday!
If Todd keels over in the middle of this broadcast, you know it's heat.
Heat stroke.
It's the heat stroke.
That's it. All right, let's enough of our problems.
Todd, put your shirt back on. Get back to work.
Let's go to the phone. Jeez, Lou. Let's go to the phone lines here. Gary, Daytona Beach, Florida, listening to us on WOCA. Hi, Gary. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for asking, Gary.
Picks are fine, I think. There's a few may be challenging, but overall the picks are fine. My really quick comment, and I'd like to listen to you, is when you're considering selecting the cabinet, it's amazing that Biden put through Rachel Levine, Granholm, Pete Buttigieg, who believes most bridges and roads are racist, Granholm, who believes that we should be carbon neutral totally, even if it's $27 trillion, Mayorkas believes the border has been secure and the children are safe. Merrick Garland, who believes white extremism is the biggest threat. Milley, he also wrote a book on, making lots of money on peril and understanding white rage. Austin, who went AOL and worked for Raytheon. And Janet Yellen, who thinks transitory inflation. So, I think our picks are fine.
Yeah, look, Gary, well, when you put it like that, Gary, and don't forget, we've got a Supreme Court justice who can't tell you what a woman is. So,
correct.
And so, she happens to be one.
I just, wanted to hear your comments on those. People should think about them.
Look, Gary, here's the thing, and I'm, you know, I've got a beef with Matt Gaetz, but that aside, I think he'd make a terrific AG. If he is accused of doing, you know, he's been accused of all this stuff, but there's no proof to back it up. Otherwise, he'd be in jail right now. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So President Trump wants to put disruptors in Washington, D.C. and in his cabinet. This is not a go-along to get-along cabinet, Gary. We're about to blow stuff up, and that's the way it has to be, and that's the way it should be. And if President Trump believes that the little gecko on the TV commercial will be a great fit for his cabinet, then I say confirm that little critter.
Take care.
All right, Gary, thanks for calling in. Let's go to Keith in Palm Bay, Florida. Hi, Keith. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. Thank you very much for taking my call. And first off, I'd like to thank you. When you had President Trump on, you had us call in for questions for him and stuff, and you relayed my question of changing Make America Great Again to Make America Grateful Again, a process that needs to be done before we can be great. But my question is on the Joe and Mika thing and MSNBC, and I usually call them MS-13 NBC.
I love that.
How much does the MS Microsoft have to do with them? Because they have always had low ratings. I mean, all of their shows have always had low ratings. Is the Microsoft the biggest backer of MSNBC? Is that where all the money's coming from?
Well, it could be. And look, again, you know, when it came to second place, and really you had Fox and then MSDNC and then CNN was even worse in the ratings than they were. But I got to tell you, Keith, their ratings were not always bad, and there was a lot of concern several years ago after Roger Ailes was fired, when MSDNC actually started beating some of the Fox shows. So their ratings haven't always been bad, and that does seem to be the network of choice for the liberals and the progressives. But I think what's going to happen now with the Comcast is they're hemorrhaging money right now with MSDNC, and so they're going to be offloading the network. That's what's going to happen, and then everybody's going to be out of work. And by the way, that's why CNN, all the anchors are freaking out because they're going through the same thing over at CNN.
It'll be a change up. I mean, I still like hearing all them voices. I've listened to them for 20 years now. On my cable channel, they're all three right next to each other, and I'd like to see the different ways of them reporting stuff. It's very interesting and very mind enlightening.
Well, the way I see it, Keith, and we watch, you know, Ben Dieter has to watch MSDNC. I watch CNN. And we do it so that you guys don't have to, right? It's like a public service here on the program. But I got to tell you, I cannot watch MSDNC. I just can't stomach the two dudes in primetime. What's it's Chris Hayes and his twin brother?
Rachel.
Rachel, thank you. Yeah, geez, hello. Keith, appreciate that call. Let's go to Shannon in Cordova, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Shannon. What's on your mind?
Hey. I just wanted to say I actually think that the reason that they are going to Mar-a-Lago is because they're hoping that they can get something on him.
Oh, you think they might be snooping around in Melania's drawers?
Well, whether they're going to go through her drawers, or they're going to try to get into certain other areas. I'm just hoping, I just think that they're thinking that they can catch him in a aha moment. See, I gotcha. I can prove that, yes, you're a racist, you're a Hitler, you're this, you're that.
Oh, that's good. I mean, if there's a Jerusalem cross around, you know, they're gonna get triggered by that lickety-split, I can tell you that much. And for the record, I would say Joe may have been wanting to get into Melania's drawers, but Mika, I don't think she swings that way. So I'm just sorry about
not.
That, Shannon.
But I think that they're after the aha moment, the, oh, look at this, I can prove it, gotcha moment, see, I was right all along moment, that type of stuff. It's not a mea culpa, we were wrong moment, so we're here to apologize. It's a, what can we catch you in if we can catch you in something, whether it's you or one of your staff or one of your family members. That's what I think they're after. They're after that, I was right moment instead of the, oh, I've been wrong this entire time, but I've been lying to you. And therefore, because I'm lying to you, you need to believe what I'm saying.
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot to that, Shannon, and that very well may be the case. But I think at the end of the day that their bosses, the people that signed their paycheck, said, you guys got to knock this stuff off. I mean, this is killing our business. And if you want a job, you're going to have to suck it up and you're going to go fly down to Mar-a-Lago. We're not going to let you stay there. You're going to stay at like the Hampton Inn because they get the free breakfast, and we're going to be cheap like that. But you are going to get down there and make things right. Shannon, I suspect that's ultimately what this was all about.
You think so?
I think
so. In regards to the lady that owns the flower shop here locally in town.
Oh, yes, yes.
I think she's a complete moron. I really do. How can you sit there and say, I'm not going to service half of the country that, you know, that supported him and expect to be able to survive? I suspect that in 6 months, she's going to, she's going to regret those decisions if she doesn't already. She's going to be out of business.
Well, she had to shut down. You know, Shannon, she posted a message over the weekend, and so now she is claiming to be the victim. I have been victimized. And she shut down her business for the week. And first of all, I don't think she got any threats. I mean, if there are threats, come on, folks. That's not who we are. Conservatives don't do that at all. But I will say this, Shannon, that she shut down for the week. And I think the reason why is because every one of her orders got canceled.
Oh, I bet. Absolutely. I cannot. Does she honestly think that she'll be able to survive on orders from only the pink, blue, green, yellow, purple-haired people? I mean, is she that delusional and thinking that they're creating that much business for her?
I can tell you, Shannon, our story about that and KWAM's coverage of it locally got millions of people enraged. I mean, I have never seen people respond to a story, but I mean, she was just so straightforward. If you supported Trump, I don't want your business. And okay, well, that's on you then.
Well, exactly. Could you imagine if every single business did that? How many of those businesses would shut down because people would be like, well, then, you know, we're just going to take our business, our money, elsewhere.
It's a good point.
End of discussion.
I don't get it. But anyway, you know, there you go. It's just very, what's the word I'm looking for? Bigoted to me. Shannon, we got a skedaddle. Thank you for that. Wyatt Cox needed clarification, Ben Dieter. He said, are you talking about actual wasps or are you talking about WASPs, which would be the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant wasps?
I wish it were those ones.
No. I mean, well, I think we're infested with both.
But we're below the Mason-Dixie. Right?
Mason-Dixon, yes.
Dixon?
Mason-Dixon.
See, I'm from the north, so I've only heard, pray tell, of the Mason-Dixon line.
Mason-Dixon.
What does that mean?
Well, that signifies the good people.
And the bad people?
That signifies where you need air conditioning and you don't. And we're on the need air conditioning side.
This couldn't have happened at a worse time because we're in a heat wave in Memphis for some reason. By Thursday and really across the country, we're going to see freezing temperatures, essentially, here in Memphis.
Well, we have no heat, so that's either.
Oh,
so
no, that's, really? Yeah, that's no, how that works?
There's no AC, nothing. All right, got to take a break. Oh, before we take a break, because Steve in Maine, we're going to get to Steve's call in just a moment, but Steve reminded me of this crazy story that happened yesterday where President Biden has announced a major change in policy when it comes to Ukraine. And so Biden is now giving permission to the Ukrainians to use our long-range missiles against Russia. Ladies and gentlemen, go back just a few months ago when Vladimir Putin said, if you do that, then we will consider ourselves to be at war with the United States. So I'm not sure we saw the October surprise. What we may be looking at is a November or December surprise. This administration is taking us to World War III. That's where all of this is going. So we're going to take Steve's call after the break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
Oh, I love it. I'm 83 years old, and it has helped me.
Everything was okay. I feel better. I just turned 90, so I'm doing real good.
I'm doing great. You know, some guys tell me, oh, that's psychological, man. I said, let me tell you something. I don't care what it is. It's working.
Start your journey with Balance of Nature supplements. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
Mercy. All right. Sweating like a... What was... No, I can't say that joking on the radio. All right. Let's go to the phone lines here. Steve in Maine, WLOB, our great affiliate. Hi, Steve. All right. So here's the deal. It looks like Biden is really goading Putin into WW3.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Todd. I love your show. I was skeptical about Trump winning, but I kept listening to you, and I'm so glad it turned out the way it did. I think when it comes to Ukraine and Russia, Todd, I wonder if Biden is just trying to hamstring Trump, because Trump has been saying that he's going to be seeking peace like from day one, and I think it's extremely reckless of to allow them to use our missiles to strike deep into Russia. I just think it's crazy. You know, the old saying, you poke the bear, and I just think it's a bad idea. And I'll hang up and listen to you comment, Todd.
Well, Steve, first of all, thank you for those kind words, and thank you for listening. And by the way, all of our WLOB listeners, it would be very prudent of you to download our app so you can listen to us whenever you want to listen to us. But you want to do that between now and the first of the year if you listen to us on WLOB. Look, I think this is a big problem, but I don't think it's Trump and Putin have an understanding. So I don't, unless there is a massive U.S.-led missile attack on Moscow, I can't imagine Putin taking us to World War III. But I wouldn't put that past Joe Biden and the administration. And again, you had Antony Blinken out there over the weekend saying they are authorizing billions of dollars and more spending to Ukraine. And you had the State Department saying they're going to be sending as much money as they can to Ukraine until Inauguration Day. That is a frightening thing, ladies and gentlemen. So the question is not so much about Putin. You don't like to think this about your government, but we have a corrupt federal government right now, ladies and gentlemen. And I wouldn't put it past them to try and goad Russia into some sort of a conflict. So the question is, what will Putin do? So that's where we're at with all of this. So I appreciate that call, and we'll get into more of that. Coming up, by the way, there's been a lot of controversy surrounding RFK and McDonald's, so we'll get into that a little bit later in the next hour. Mark Lauder is going to be here to weigh in on Mitch McConnell. Turtle is snapping back, and he says that there will be no recess appointments, telling Donald Trump, we're not going to let you have the cabinet you want. That's what McConnell says. Now, McConnell may not realize that he's no longer in charge. He is a man of feeble mind, and we, you know, that's, you know, an age thing. But the reality is he's a rhino, And we need to pay very close attention to his threat because many of the other rhinos follow his lead, and we can't lose too many rhinos. So we'll get into more of that with Mark Lotter, who is the chief comms officer at America First Policy Institute. Also coming up a little bit later on, Jonathan Kahn is going to be here. Brand new, great book, New York Times bestseller, The Dragon's Prophecy. How does President Trump factor into biblical prophecy? Well, we're going to talk to Jonathan Kahn about that. All right, folks, hang tight again. Head over to the website. If you haven't downloaded our app, you should do that. You can download our app, by the way, at kwamradio.com. That's kwamradio.com. You can download it for free, and you can also send us shout-outs, all that kind of great stuff. But be sure to do that at kwamradio.com. We'll be right back, America.
I don't really like working.
I'm going to need a priority parking space.
I only work remotely.
How are your safe spaces?
Can I bring my dog to work?
Will your company protect me against microaggressions?
You're triggering me. Is this interview almost over?
You don't run a daycare. You run a business. So why use high-priced recruitment agencies who charge you up to 40% of an employee's first-year salary? So they're focused on getting you the costly talent, not the best fit, which means you get more of this.
What's your policy on paying employees to attend protests?
And I demand 8 weeks of vacation.
And I need at least 12 weeks of paid vacation.
I'm going to need a lot of mental health days.
Do you have a game room?
My pronouns are Z's and Z'er.
Isn't it time you hired grown-ups? Call redballoon.work and skip those high-priced recruitment agencies. Call 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. That's 833-880-0600 for a free consultation. Redballoon.work.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Yes. Hello, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes radio program, hour two, as we broadcast border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. So, Jamie Raskin over on the left, really upset about President Trump's cabinet. Here's what Jamie Raskin had to say about the president's cabinet picks, cut number 10.
This is the absolute triumphant takeover of the Republican Party by MAGA, and it will be the takeover of the U.S. government by MAGA if the Senate lets all of these people go through.
Yes, absolutely, Jamie Raskin. Let's celebrate. Wow, I finally agree with this guy about something. So now you have the ex-Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell, and he was over the weekend. It was a very weird thing. The New Yorker posted this, and then they deleted it as soon as all you-know-what broke out. But you had Senator Turtle out there, and he had this to say about President Trump and the idea of recess appointments. And so, again, people were like, wait, what? You have no say in this anymore, Turtle. What's wrong with you? And it's true, he doesn't. John Thune is a Senate Majority Leader. But the concern is that the rhinos could try to upset Trump's apple cart. Well, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to a good friend of the program. He is the chief comms guy at America First Policy Institute, Mark Lotter. Mark, good to have you with us today.
Great to be with you, Todd.
And by the way, were you at the big, they had that huge shindig, down at Mar-a-Lago for the America First Policy folks?
I was. It was a great event. So great to see the president and a lot of friends that hadn't seen in a while. Very celebratory mood, as you would expect after the election a couple of weeks ago. So really excited to see everyone and a great time and great to hear from the president.
So over the weekend, we heard that the president was naming Caroline Leavitt to serve as the White House press secretary. Caroline's a great friend of this program and me personally, and I can't think of a finer pick. And there have been some others coming down the pike, and others will come down the pike, I have to imagine, this week. Mark, any of the selections thus far that really stand out to you as like, wow?
Well, I think just generally speaking, you know, going across the board, I mean, obviously Caroline's going to be great, and she's a huge champion of the president. It's historic. She's the youngest press secretary to ever be named, which is something significant. But then look at Susie Wiles, the first female chief of staff in history. So who says President Trump doesn't support women? But when you look at all of them across the board, you look at the ages of some of them, you know, 39, 40, 42, 44, so many of them, they are the next generation of the America First leadership team. And you can see Donald Trump is not just talking about these next 4 years. He's talking about building a movement that takes on decades. And we're going to see these names keep coming up over and over again. So that's the thing I'm most excited by, that he's empowering not only women, but the next generation of leaders in our country.
You know what it was for me, Mark? And over the weekend, I was just sort of going over notes, getting ready, doing some show prep. And I was going through that list. And you're right. All of these folks are so young. And it really reminded me of our founding fathers. And many folks think our founding fathers were these old guys. But by and large, they were pretty young people, most of them under the age of 40 years old.
Yeah, at the time they were taking all these historic steps, they were young. We remember them in the powdered wigs and later in their lives. But where would we be without them as the young leadership? And I think that's just the most impressive part. President's off is to a great start here, and who knows what's to come next.
Mark, when you look at the policy part of it, which is what you guys do there at the Institute, the America First Policy Institute, what are some of the things that you anticipate the president doing day one? And I have to imagine this guy's a multitasker. So what are some of the things that you think we're going to see him do?
Well, I think it makes sense. You know, right off the bat, he'll come out with, you know, dealing with immigration, energy, because that the energy is the most important driver right now to the sky high inflation. So it would not surprise me to see him take action on both of those things, you know, from day one, if not on day one. Of course, I don't speak for the president or his transition, but you know what he has said and what he plans to deliver. It would not be surprising to see either of those things be front and center, and that's what the American people elected. They wanted someone to actually get to do and get in and deal with these issues that have been such a problem for our country. And with the Senate, with the House, I think we're set very well to get it done.
Mark, one of the things that I'm excited about is the president's continued influence on the judiciary and his special appointments to the federal bench. It was interesting. There's an idea being floated around on social media. I don't know the validity of it, but I kind of like it. Maybe naming Ben Shapiro, age 40, to the Supreme Court of these great United States.
Well, I obviously can't speak to specifically to the name. Obviously, Ben would be amazing. But you saw that with the president, with his nominations, whether it was Justice Barrett, whether it was Justice Kavanaugh, and then so many of his appellate court and his district court appointees were folks in their 40s. He really is going to have a lasting impact from his first term, let alone what he's going to do with his second term, on the judiciary for decades to come, because these people are going to serve for maybe 20, 30 years, maybe some cases 40 years. So it's going to be great that even then, well after I'm long and gone out of here, that President Trump's impact will still be being felt in our country.
Yeah, I'm with you, and that's going to be a huge thing. Just imagine this. You can have Donald Trump naming 5 picks to the Supreme Court. That's just unprecedented, and it really does, I think, bode well for the future of the country and really this America First movement, Mark.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is really, you know, so often, and I give President Trump so much credit for this. We often look at just in terms of policies, bills, laws that were passed, even executive actions. But when it comes to these nominees, when it comes to removing regulation, when it comes to the judiciary, these are things that the president's going to do that are going to long live past his actual time in office. And I think that's the biggest impact that we're going to see.
All right. Well, Mark, congratulations again. I know you guys are doing some incredible work. And really, the work you guys were doing laid the foundation for this massive victory, not only for President Trump, but also for those down-ballot candidates. So I really appreciate the great work you guys are doing.
Well, thanks, Todd. You know, we're just getting started. You know, it's easy to put it on a bumper sticker. Now you got to go out and actually do it.
That's true. It's a great point. All right, Mark Lauder, everybody, chief comms guy over at America First Policy Institute. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Good talk to you, Todd.
All right, good man right there. All right, 901-260-5926. That is our telephone number if you would like to join the program today. 901-260-5926. By the way, where's that? Yes, here's the story I wanted to share with you from Campus Reform, ladies and gentlemen. A fascinating story coming from the University of Virginia. Oh, Virginia! And a young man who comes from both Jewish and Christian heritage was walking around campus wearing a red Make America Christian Again ball cap. It looks just like the MAGA cap. Oh, by the way, the brief aside here, if I have decided to take on RFK Jr.'s big challenge, the MAHA movement. I have joined the MAHA movement. And so this morning, I was actually yesterday, and where's Ben Dieter? Ben Dieter may have stepped out. I was at the local coffee shop yesterday afternoon, Ben Dieter. And I decided, you know what, Caleb Park was back in town from Newsmax. He was here for a wedding. And Park said, you got to start really taking care of yourself. And I thought, you know, RFK has inspired me. I want to become a part of the MAHA movement. That's Make America Healthy Again. And so I thought, what better place to start? I was getting ready to order my regular coffee blend, which is black coffee. And I said, you know what, I'll have one of those matcha things.
You didn't.
Oh, yeah. So the order comes and they bring it to you. There's this massive cup, and it looks like that green film sludge that you see, like if you're in the swamp, right? And it's like they just walked out to the swamp and scooped it up and popped it into the cup, and they microwaved it.
Did it taste like that?
So, in fairness, it tasted exactly like you would expect liquefied lawn clippings. I felt like I smelled like a freshly mowed lawn. That's what I smelled like for the rest of the day.
Did you feel different? Did you feel healthier?
Got a little indigestion, to be honest with you.
So is matcha, is that a coffee or is that a tea? Does it come from China?
I couldn't tell.
It's a Japanese thing.
Oh,
it's
is
an
it?
Asian thing.
Okay. Well, that explains why, because
it out with chopsticks.
Well, our missions pastor texted me and says, do you want to come with us on the next mission trip to Japan? And I'm like, well, I hadn't really thought about it, but let me think about it. So that explains that question.
And also, I got a call from Todd at 5:30 this morning, and Todd had worked up a sweat before the crack of dawn.
That's right. I'm out doing the walking through the neighborhood.
You're not just talking the talk. You are walking it.
But I grabbed my MAGA hat. I'm tying all this into what happened at the University of Virginia. So I grabbed my MAGA hat. I'm walking outside the condo. And they had these three women, and they're out there exercising, and I hold the door open, and they all three said, love the hat.
Really?
I said, thank you, ladies. Thank
you. Wow.
I used my deep voice.
Did you get a number?
Thank you, ladies. No, I'm working on it tomorrow. I don't want to be too aggressive, you know. We'll see. I'm probably going to run into it. That's another good reason to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go exercise.
The yoga people are out there, and yoga people are typically attractive.
I tried yoga back in my younger years. There was an unfortunate moment with a full moon, if you know what I mean. It was, unpleasant. Nobody wanted to see that. It was a pale moon.
Wow.
So anyway, so this poor guy, Dieter, he's wearing the MAGA, the MACA, Make America Christian Again hat.
Oh.
And somebody reports him to the school's Office of Equal Opportunity and Civil Rights. And so the compliance director calls the kid and says, we have to have a meeting about your hat. And so the guy, he went into the meeting and they said, are you aware that your hat makes people feel uncomfortable? And he said, why do I care about that? And then she asked the guy, well, are you going to moving forward, are you going to consider wearing another hat? And he said, no. And I say, good for him.
What did they want him to do? Take it off?
Take it off.
Because it was offending people.
The only thing that triggers the left more than Donald Trump is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of neck and neck.
Well, I did he? So he's not in trouble. He didn't go to the the like ethics board of the campus.
No, not yet. Well, they know he got summoned. He got summoned, but they're not punishing him just yet, but they're trying to intimidate him.
Mm.
So I guess now they at University of Virginia, if you're just walking across campus wearing a MAGA hat, somebody could report you and you could be summoned.
Wow.
So lickety split, what needs to happen is that office has to go.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
I'm curious if more people are wearing the hat now that we won. Because think about this. Let's go to that dark place in our minds. If Kamala Harris would have won, I don't know that a ton of people would have been wearing Trump hats. I feel like the country has shifted. There's a new energy. It feels like we're back. And I, too, have been noticing a lot more people wearing Trump hats. Had it all have ended, that would have been Trump's last campaign rally. It would have kind of been over, but now I feel like there's been new breath breathed into this movement.
I wear mine every day, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I wear it with proudly, and I've had nothing but positive feedback from people. So
you should come to a party.
I should go downtown. go to Midtown Memphis.
You won't get the same response. Not everybody loves it.
So here's my question for the Office of Equal Opportunity and Civil Rights at the University of Virginia. Do they have similar conversations with kids wearing the rainbow flags, waving those rainbow flags, or wearing the Antifa shirts?
Mm-hmm. Or the Satanist hats?
Or BLM? I always thought they meant for bowel movements.
No.
That's liberal bowel movements. Nobody wants that.
BLM.
Well, I guess you do want that, actually. You want them consistently. Okay. I'm going to take a break now.
Much always helps with that.
All right. 901-260-5926. Have you noticed people? Ben Brace is a great point here. Have you noticed people around your town proudly wearing their Trump gear? Yeah. You may be. Mm-hmm. All right. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back. Got an interesting note over the weekend, and we've got the story up at toddstearns.com. The Air Force Academy now refers to fathers as non-birthing parents. This is coming from Senator Mike Lee from Utah, and he shared a note he got from the father of a cadet. And the official forms at the Air Force Academy refer to the father as the cadet's non-birthing parent. But here's where it gets really weird. They also identify the mother as the non-birthing parent. So how did she give birth? By the way, these two individuals are, in fact, the birth parents. It does take two to tango, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to get too graphic this afternoon during the lunch hour, but it takes two to boot, scoot, and boogie and make a baby. So anyway, this sort of woke gender-denying nonsense is why Pete Hegseth is the perfect choice to be the next Secretary of Defense. I was listening to KWAM on Sunday mornings, and we broadcast these different church programs. And one of my favorites is the First Assembly of God in Memphis. And the pastor there is just great because he mentions the radio station during his sermons. For all you people in the audience and listening to us on KWAM, and I'm like, wow, and I perk up, I listen. And he said something yesterday that really stuck with me. He said, biology is not bigotry. And I thought, wow, what a terrific way of explaining that boys are boys and girls are girls. And I thought that was a terrific, terrific sermon. So anyway, Pete Hegseth, he saw Senator Lee's post, and he said, yeah, those forms aren't going to be disrespecting moms and dads for too much longer. And by the way, this is why, and I'm curious to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen, are you now hearing from your sons and daughters that maybe they are now reconsidering a career in the military? On social media, we're starting to get messages, and I know that Pete got a couple from dads who said, you know what? My son didn't want to be a part of any of the woke nonsense, but now he's reconsidering and he's going to join the military. And I'm curious if you are hearing the same thing. Like Pete said, the dumbest phrase on planet Earth in the military is our diversity is our strength. And Hegseth is going to go in there and he is going to be a great disruptor. And we're going to talk about this on the Newsmax show at 5 o'clock Eastern in a little bit of detail. But all of the people Trump is now picking for his cabinet are disruptors. They're not going in to hang out at the country club and the Georgetown cocktail parties. That's not what these people are doing. They're coming to D.C. with sledgehammers. All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. One of the good guys out there, and he has really been fighting this war in the classroom. And by the way, before we get to Ryan, we have an insane story up on our website, toddstarns.com. Somebody, a teacher at a grade school in Wisconsin, actually had the American flag upside down in the classroom on Veterans Day. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we are now starting to see conservative kids standing up and fighting back from Beverly Hills High School all the way to New York City. And these kids are sick and tired of all this woke stuff that their far left progressive teachers are shoving down their throats. And I don't blame them one bit. So our next guest has been fighting this good fight. His name is Ryan Walters. He is the state superintendent of schools in Oklahoma. And Ryan's been a guest on the program many times in the past. Ryan, good to have you back with us.
Hey, great to be back. I mean, that's that America First energy right there. I'm telling you, President Trump has really, changed the game here with such an overwhelming victory here. And Todd, you and I talked about it before. He's won the education debate. I mean, wasn't it funny to see in none of the debates did they mention education? Did any of the left-wing mainstream press bring up education when that used to be their favorite subject? I just think parents have gotten out. President Trump's been a great spokesman for this. And the Democrats magically didn't want to talk about education this election because it was a loser issue for them. And I got to give President Trump all the credit for really fighting that fight.
And, of course, he's promised that he's going to shut down the Department of Education. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, look, the Department of Education, let's go back to it real quick. I know your listeners know this, but they brought us Common Core Math. They brought us critical race theory. They brought us DEI. They brought us this transgender nonsense of pushing flamer and genderqueer into the classrooms, trying to turn your kids into transgender activists down there, okay? That is what came out of that agency. Don't forget last summer when Joe Biden threatened every state in the country and said, you have to allow boys and girls sports and boys and girls bathrooms, or I'm taking your funding. And by the way, I'll also see you in court because I'm going to come after you all and hold you all legally responsible for not respecting the rights of transgender kids and pushing that ideology on them. So that's what came out of that agency. We do away with it. We return power back to the states. States should do what we do here in Oklahoma. I know that you guys do it in Tennessee. Get power back to the parents. Parents should be in charge of kids' education. Full school choice. Give them the accountability that they need. Schools will take off. The country will be better off for it. And let's teach our kids to be patriotic and love this country. Hey, we're unapologetic about that. So is President Trump. Our kids should love this country, not be taught to hate it the way the teachers' union and the Department of Education has been pushing for decades now.
Yeah, 1,000% accurate. And just look at the blowback you got for wanting to put the Bible and back into the classroom and to teach kids about the importance of Christianity and the founding of our nation.
Look, that's exactly right. And you see that pushback that comes that's just so, it's so over the top. You look at, we want to put the Bible back in the classroom. We want the Constitution. We want the Declaration of Independence. The same people that are fighting us getting back to understanding this country's greatness are the same people fighting to put genderqueer and flamer in there. So on one end, inclusivity means put graphic, transgender, homosexual pornography in front of kindergartners. But hey, I mean, listen, we can't talk about the Bible. We can't ever mention that our rights came from God. We can't ever mention Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from a Birmingham jail, where he talks about Daniel, talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being examples that he used when he pushed for the civil rights movement. Oh, can't mention pilgrims, why they come to America. Well, you can't mention their religion. I mean, it's an absurd position, but the left has dominated education for decades. President Trump said, hey, prayer's coming back. Hey, we're going to talk about the role of Christianity played in history classes. We're going to create a generation that understands American greatness and is going to continue us towards that path. it's incredible to be in education. It's incredible to be an American right now after that election.
You know, Ryan, you've been one of the few people at this level that seems to get it. And I'm wondering, you know, and I don't blame for the millennials, that was the generation that was taught to hate America. And so was, to a great extent, Generation Z. So you really can't fault them. I mean, they've been indoctrinated in their classrooms. So it really does make you wonder, what is this country going to look like 10, 15 years from now when you're finally teaching kids about the greatness of America?
That's right. You go back to a time, and again, one of my favorite things I love to do with the kids in my history classes was read the letters from World War II. Those soldiers knew what they were fighting for. They knew what this country's principles were. They were willing to risk their lives for this country. Now you've got kids that hate the country, think it's an evil, racist country. Think about if we can go back to that time. We have Americans growing up with not only, I mean, people forget this. They act like, oh, what's going to happen without a Department of Education? The country existed for over 200 years without a Department of Education. That's a recent development. So that is a complete, red herring when they try to push that on you and act like that's something strange. The thing that's strange is we built the greatest country in the history of the world without a federal Department of Education. We did it with one-room schoolhouses where we focused on the basics and we focused on American exceptionalism. The strange deviation in American history is the last 40 years with a federal Department of Education teaching the next generation to hate their own country and their country's values. We know from history, civilizations don't move on and don't survive that type of indoctrination. We have got to turn the ship around. Thank God for President Trump. He has got us on the right direction. And when he does away with that agency, that federal department of education, I'm telling you, the difference is going to be tremendous in all the states around the country.
Ryan, I'm curious, from a practical standpoint, they abolish the Department of Education, which, by the way, we did not have before Jimmy Carter. He's the one who made that a cabinet-level position. What practically will that do? So it goes away. What happens at that point?
Absolutely. So what happens at that point is, you know, President Trump and his team have some options here. But, you know, for one thing, all of these strings that come, all the regulations that come with, hey, you better do these things. When you teach math, you better do DEI with your math classes. If you want to do history, you've got to make sure that you talk about the 1619 Project. All that goes away. So all that goes away where states can actually go solve their own problems. I mean, so you can actually go in there and determine what you're going to do with your history classes, what you're going to do with your math classes, and not risk, first of all, the funding going away. Number two, you don't risk being under investigation. They have slapped these investigations on all these red states across the country. Don't forget, they've been targeting Christian colleges, too. Grand Canyon University. Look at all the scandals, quote scandals, doing air quotes over here, Todd, but from Grand Canyon University and the Federal Department of Education. That was just because they were a Christian university that was growing in rapid numbers. The feds over the Federal Department of Education targeted them. Look at the parents that they targeted through the Department of Justice who showed up at school board meetings. So every step of the way, they undermine school choice, they undermine transparency, and they push woke indoctrination and curriculum. Now you shift to going, all that's gone. So now you have states truly empowered through school choice. And by the way, remember, the president says he is going to do national school choice tax credit. So it doesn't matter if you're red state, blue state, you choose as a parent. You choose a school. So all these kids trapped in blue states, blue cities that are undermining their education, dictating to parents what their kids will learn, boom, all of a sudden you allow parents that decision. It's going to be tremendous. So you partner that with the Federal Department of Education going away, with patriotism back in the classroom, and national school choice. Wow, Todd, I'm telling you, his plan is tremendous. That's a recipe for tremendous success in education.
Ryan, we could spend 2 hours talking about all of this. What a great, great thing that's about to happen. And by the way, I was, as you and I were chatting, one of our radio station owners out in the great state of Nevada points out that arts classes went away after the Department of Education, physical education. I mean, there really has been a crackdown on the things that we all grew up with that today's kids don't have the opportunities to take part in.
Yeah, remember, they're a bunch of woke Marxist elitists that think they know better than parents. So, yeah, they have done, think about this, and so this is one that's a little in the weeds, but you've seen the resurgence of the science of reading across red states. Why do we have to have a resurgence on the science of reading? I'll tell you why. Because the Federal Department of Education was pushing this nonsense, this 3Q-ing, this you guess at words. You don't actually understand phonics. Same way with math. You don't understand basic mathematics. you just kind of think about it. You critically think your way to the answer. Well, we all know that's the dumbest thing we've ever heard. They were pushing that from the Federal Department of Education. So, yes, physical education went away. Yes, the arts, the vocation, the vocational methods went away as well. Your vo-techs were damaged. Everyone had to go to college. And by the way, in college, we're going to push the most left-wing agenda you have ever seen. We've got to get back to the basics. America and American education was better off before there was a Federal Department of Education. We go back to that time in education and refocus on the basics as President Trump has laid out. And I'm telling you, it's going to make a huge difference in the trajectory of this country.
All right. Well, Ryan, we're going to leave it there. Great work. Congratulations. I suspect we're going to have a fun next 4 years. It's going to be great.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, Todd, very much.
Have All right. One. Ryan Walters, everybody, the state superintendent there in Oklahoma. And I love it. And, you know, this poor guy, he gets so much grief from the media. And you've got all these stories out there of horrible things happening in classrooms. And I'm not talking about the woke stuff. I'm talking about teachers attacking kids, doing very inappropriate things with the kids. You've got all those stories out there, but they'd rather focus on Ryan Walters, who's out there, and his crime, according to the media and the National Education Association, is wanting to make sure that kids are taught American history and they're taught the Bible. I find nothing wrong with that at all. All right, we got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the news lately. Newsmax just filed to go public, and Forbes magazine is calling Newsmax a news powerhouse. Just a few days ago, they beat CNN in the ratings. Newsmax is now one of the top U.S. news brands. President Trump is a big fan, and I am too. And I want you to get more information on Newsmax's planned IPO. That means you could become a co-owner of Newsmax today. And you may be eligible to buy preferred shares in Newsmax. You can go to the website NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. And you can get all the information there. Be sure to consult with your attorney or financial advisor. Again, that website, NewsmaxInvest.com. Did you watch the big fight? Actually, there were two big fights. One big fight and one sparring session in a ring. This Jake Paul fight with Mike Tyson. Interesting. So, look, I don't know about you guys. Was I the only one dealing with buffering issues during the entire fight on Netflix? I know Netflix thought it was like the best thing ever, but I was having to sign in and out, having to restart Netflix every 5 minutes just to be able to watch the fight. And honestly, the two gals that were fighting, they really got into it. Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, eh. So look, here's my take on it. And I think everybody knew that it was what it was. This was not a real fight. And that Jake Paul, I got to give the guy credit. He showed great respect to Mike Tyson after the match, after the bout. I thought he did a classy thing. And there's some people that are speculating that this was the plan all along, was to make sure that Mike Tyson got a boatload of money. You know, Tyson's been dealing with some financial issues, and Jake Paul said, "You know what? Let's give the man his dignity and let's let him do a fight." And you got to give him credit. What other 58-year-old is going to go out there? And he took some punches, Tyson did, but he also delivered some. There were a couple where you could tell that Jake Paul got he staggered a little bit. So then you had UFC fight night in Madison Square Garden. Trump shows up, and the media is just livid. And they're saying that it was just like, the Roman conquerors coming into the arena with the gladiators. Yeah, that's exactly what it was, actually. I'm glad they picked up on that. It wasn't actually that subtle nuance, right? It was exactly what you think it was. And then you had the winner of the match who did the Trump dance. Did you see that? He did the Trump dance in the ring. And then you had the whole crowd just chanting over and over and over again, USA, USA. John Jones is the winner, heavyweight champion, and knocked the guy out. And he gets up there and he talks about Jesus. Take a listen.
How do you feel right now?
You know what? While I got the moment, while everybody's cheering and so happy, I want to acknowledge Jesus Christ. I tell you what, man. I cannot take credit for a gift like this, man. I really owe it all to him. And I know that there's millions of people around the world watching right now. And I just want to let you guys know that Jesus loves you so much. That's all I'll say about that. And as far as my future in the octagon, I decided that maybe I will not retire. And that I have some conversations to have with Dana and Hunter. And we have some negotiating to do. And if everything goes right, maybe we'll give you guys what you want to see.
And what would that be? Is that heavyweight? Or is that Alex Pereira at heavyweight? What is that? What are you thinking?
You know, I know that we have options. And so I'm just going to see what Uncle Dana wants and what Uncle Hunter wants. And you guys will hear about it soon, I'm sure. I also want to say a big, big thank you to President Donald Trump for being here tonight. What do you guys think about my version of the Donald Trump? Check it out. USA! USA! Let's go!
USA! USA! USA!
That's what I like. I'm proud. I'm proud to be a great American champion. I'm proud to be a Christian American champion.
Oh, Lord. You know, everybody got triggered. All those liberals out there got triggered. But look, can we just say this, that President Trump made it okay to be a man in America again, right? Where you don't have to worry. You know, who cares? Who cares what these woke feminazis think about you? Nobody cares anymore. Nobody. Just shut up, ma'am, and go make me a sandwich, please. I'm going to get in trouble for that. But you know what I'm talking about. And that's what was on display. Beautiful women out there. And by the way, did you see Mike Johnson, little Mike Johnson? So he was invited to be part of the entourage, and the optics here were not so subtle. And he's like a teeny tiny little fella. He's actually shorter. He's shorter than I am. And you know, Trump and all these other guys are huge. And so the appearance was that it was like little Timmy, the kid brother, tagging along. That's exactly what it looked like as they were walking into the arena. And then they were on Trump Force One. You had what? RFK was there, Tulsi Gabbard. You had Bongino there, who, by the way, is up for Secret Service. And I think he would be a terrific choice. Brief aside, Bongino, during the event itself, if you watch Bongino's body language, he's not watching the match. He's watching around, scouting out for somebody who might be a bad actor out there. That's pretty. Look, that's the guy you need protecting, Donald J. So anyway, they're on the plane and they're sitting there. Is it Don Jr. and you had RFK? And so they're eating McDonald's, and everybody's giving RFK Jr. grief for eating McDonald's. Do we actually know if RFK ate the burger? I don't know. But then here comes little Mike, and he was like, he's photobombing the photo. He's like trying to lean in over the seats. Yes. Oh, little Mike. Oh, little Mike. Anyway. All right. Maybe at Thanksgiving, do you think he'll be able to sit at the grown-up table? At Mar-a-Lago? I don't know. That's a good question. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Hour three of The Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Attention up, men of America. Whoopi Goldberg has a message for all of you fine folk. Here's what Whoopi has to say.
I dare, yeah, you didn't get here by yourself, man. You can't do this without us. Yeah. And if we don't let you, you don't get any. It's that simple. It's that simple.
Well, there you go. Whoopi says it's that simple. No more sex. So she's threatening to withhold sex from the men of America. And I think the men of America, thank the good Lord, I'm breathing a sigh of relief. So there is a fellow who is, they call themselves, what is it, the white men for Harris or white dudes for Harris. They're really sort of borderline there. But anyway, this white dude for Harris says that he has a theory as to why all of the white men of America voted for Donald Trump. Let's take a listen.
If you are wondering why we will never have free college in the United States and why we will continue to lag behind other countries in reading and writing, it's because the only voter base that is still voting Republican is non-college educated whites. If non-college educated whites didn't vote in this election, Kamala Harris would have won in a landslide. The reason that there will never be free college is because people who have a college education vote Democrat. The reason that we will never have free college in the United States of America is because non-college educated whites are the only voter base continuing to prop up the Republican Party. And the only way the Republican Party can stay in power is by making sure that as few white people get a college education as possible.
There you go. You know what it is? I think part of this is that a lot of these white guys who voted for Trump did, in fact, not go to college, and they were not indoctrinated. And when you look at the landscape, just think about this for a moment here, folks. There were a growing number of young people chose not to go to college, mainly because they couldn't afford it. And that was happening really towards the tail end of the Barack Hussein Obama era, where you had Obama telling all these millennials, you can't be a success in life if you don't get a college degree. And so what happened? Well, a lot of these kids went out there, and I mean, I don't know how many, you know, lesbian pottery majors we have out there, but they're all unemployed. It's terrible. They can't find work. So now you had a generation coming up, and they saw their brothers and sisters still living at home in their parents' basement, and they're like, that's no life for me. And so they decided who needs college. So they decided to go to either a trade school, or they just went right into the workforce. Those people, I guarantee you, I would say about 90% of those people are as conservative as the day is long. And I know we put labels on things, but really, if you believe in freedom and liberty, I mean, those are conservative. Those are American ideals. Only one political party is defending that, and that's the Republicans. Now, those kids may not go out there and call themselves, oh, yeah, I'm a Republican, but they don't know it, but they are. And I think those people made the difference in this election cycle, because many of those guys and gals are probably in their mid to late 30s now, and they lived through all of that. And they said, you know what? Forget this. We're done. Now, that's not saying that college is bad, but the reality is a lot of you moms, you're getting ready for Thanksgiving dinner, and if your kid is going to a taxpayer-funded school, there is a very good chance your child is going to go home and not know what their pronouns are. And I feel bad for you. I really do. But that's the reality of it. So you got to be smart about where you send your kids to school. 901-260-5926. Oh, by the way, have you heard about all these people that are leaving X now? It's like, I thought they were, and by the way, they also said they were going to leave the country, but they chickened out on that because Tehran gets very hot this time of year. And so they decided, you know what, we're not going to move to Gaza. We're not going to move to Tehran after all. So they're staying put, which is unfortunate. I was willing to help charter a one-way flight to wherever. I mean, Spirit Airlines is almost bankrupt. I figured we might be able to get them on the cheap, load it up with a bunch of Hollywood folk and that flower shop owner in Memphis, and then they could just fly to wherever they want to go. It's sad. But instead of leaving the country, they've just decided to leave X or Twitter. And so now they're joining a new social media platform? Is it called Blue Sky? Is that the, it's called Blue Sky. At first I thought it was Blueski, but I think it really is pronounced Blue Sky. And apparently it's social media for perverts. I mean, that's basically what I've been able to ascertain. There's some really weird stuff going on down there. Joy Reid, cut number 9.
Hey, guys. So today I finally did something I've been meaning to do for a while.
Get a new hairdo?
And the reason for doing it and kissing goodbye my 1.9 million followers over there is because I hadn't been posting for a long time. I just didn't want to contribute content once it was purchased by its present owner. But just having it there, I was only holding on to it because I, you know, really didn't want someone trying to take over that name and using it for nefarious purposes. I was a little bit worried about that. And also every so often I would use it to just like sort of look at news that was trending and what's happening. And I would just sort of use it as like an aggregator. But I just realized that that's not really worth it, because in order to like do the news aggregation and just look at all, you have to wade through a lot of dreck and a lot of just abuse and a lot of just negativity. And it's just not worth it. And, you know.
Oh, geez. You know, she's it's not just that she's joyless. She's a bore. I mean, really? That's it? Okay. See you later. Whoopi Goldberg saying, I'm not going to have sex with men anymore. Okay. Have a great life. Joyless Reid, I'm not going to be on EXA. Okay. See you later. I just don't understand that. Then you've got this guy named Destiny. This is a dude. So Destiny, who is Dylan shaking his head, is a singer? Is that like a, that's Destiny's child.
Yeah, yeah. You're close though.
Okay. So who is this guy?
He's like an influencer that does a lot of debating and a lot of left-wing stuff.
Okay. Hopefully he's in Secret Service custody right now. Take a listen to what he had to say.
Conservatives have been disgusting for years, which is why I don't give a f- about anybody that winds up at any of these rallies and gets shot or whatever the okay, because they had no problem making fun of Paul Pelosi. The entire world would be better off if these people were permanently removed from these platforms. Like, there is no downside and only upside to see people like Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Tim Pool never be allowed to publicly broadcast their opinions ever again. It's exclusively bad stuff that happens.
Somebody want to explain why this dude, Destiny, by the way, who names your kid Destiny? Who does that? You know he's getting picked on at school. All right, so that's an aside. Here's my question. So why is it that this guy can go out there on a social media platform and announce to the world that conservatives and Trump supporters should be shot and killed? And that's okay. But an elderly grandmother is currently in prison for praying outside an abortion clinic. Somebody want to explain that one to me? Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with us. Our next guest has a terrific book out. It's called The Dragon's Prophecy. It's pretty fascinating. This guy, a New York Times bestselling author, Jonathan Kahn, joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Jonathan, welcome to the show and congratulations on the book.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be back.
So, you know, a lot of people in the Christian community have been talking almost in biblical terms about President Trump's victory. And I'm wondering, what does that victory mean for America and really for the world? Is there a sign that we should glean from all of that?
Yeah, I wrote a book called The Paradigm, and in it, speaking about Donald Trump, and there actually is this biblical prototype, and not that he's meaning to follow it, but he's following it, and that's of Jehu. And Jehu was wild, unpredictable, and he was used by God to deal with a nation that had known God, was falling away from God. It was in apostasy. And he came in like a steamroller, and he actually made an alliance with the religious conservatives of the land. His agenda for the capital was to drain the swamp, and he basically, it was to slow down the fall of, you know, the spiritual apostasy of that nation, or turn it back. And, you know, he was feared by something. He was controversial. We don't know, in the, you know, with Jehu, where he was at with God, but he was used by God. And I have no question, this is a window we have right now. This is, you know, a reprieve, a window. But the thing is, you know, the window isn't the answer. You know, politics are not the answer, but God can use it. And so the key is what comes through the window. And the only thing that's ultimately going to turn around America is revival and returning to God. So I ask, you know, I'm charging people who have been praying for the election, don't stop praying now. We need to pray for Donald Trump to be used powerfully all out this time with the Lord, because only turning back to God can do it.
It's really fascinating when you look at the Bible, especially, Jonathan, that how many times has God been able to accomplish his goals through using very complicated, flawed individuals?
Yeah, like every time, because there really aren't any, except for the Lord himself, there aren't really any. He always does, you know, and you know, Jehu was really controversial, and we don't know where all he was at, but he was used, and we have to recognize both things, absolutely.
Jonathan Kahn, the author of The Dragon's Prophecy, it became the number one best-selling book in the country. Why do you think that is? Why are people drawn to things like The Dragon's Prophecy?
Well, I think it's because people are sensing, you know, things are kind of spiraling out of control. When they look at the world, it's what is going on? Is there a reason? And even people who are not believers are saying, wait, is this what the Bible talked about? You know, and so much has been happening in this last year. I mean, things literally, and I'm cautious about this, but literally prophetic, things linked to prophecies in the Bible, that we've crossed some real strong prophetic red lines. And so I wasn't even planning on writing this book. I was writing another one. I got interrupted by the Lord to write this. And as I'm writing it, literally the things I'm writing are coming true across the world. I had to keep on updating it because of that. And after I finished it, it also did. So this is the only book I've written that really opens up the realm of end time prophecy, and it keeps coming true.
It's fascinating because you're kind of like the Joel Rosenberg, you know, right? Remember Joel? He would write a book, and those were novels, and they would come true. And you're like, wait, how did he know that? And every time I read your work, I think the same thing. And you wrote about October the 7th, and you said there's some sort of an ancient mystery there. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, a lot. First of all, you know, it was a Friday night, and I lead Beth Israel, the congregation up here in New Jersey, and I'm sharing a biblical mystery, a Bible from Leviticus, and this mystery. And I'm not saying I know all these things, but this mystery ordained or pointed to there would be an attack on Israel. It would happen, take it by surprise. Would happen in the year 2023, would happen in October of that year, would fall on a Saturday, would on a Hebrew holiday, and it would happen on the first Saturday of October of 2023. And the thing is, October 7th, and that's when the attack happened. I shared it on Friday night. The next morning it happened. And the thing is that this is really what began the book. And the thing is that this is one of the mysteries which I believe actually can enable us to know future events, and in some cases even when they would happen. So there's so much about this, but this was the beginning of it. It was actually linked to the mystery of the Jubilee.
So let's talk about also in connection to October 7th, Hamas. And yes. You're talking in the book that the book foretold about the invasion by Hamas, but does Hamas actually appear in the Bible anywhere?
Yeah. Hamas is one of these strange words that it exists in Arabic as it means the Islamic resistance movement or fervor and zeal, but it also is a Hebrew word at the same time, an ancient Hebrew word. And in Hebrew, Hamas means evil, violence, and destruction. And the thing is, it actually appears in the Bible. One of the things I bring out in the book, I mean, you wouldn't see this if you're reading in English, but it's there. It says, for instance, in the Bible, it says, Lord, save me from the men of Hamas. It says, Hamas has risen up in the land, and the land is filled with crimes of bloodshed. You know how Hamas hides in the tunnels? It says in the Bible that Hamas dwells in the dark places of the earth. And it literally, at one point in the prophets, God says to Israel, rid Hamas from the land. And in the promise of Messiah, when it says he'll reign, it says to Israel, in that day, Hamas shall no longer be heard in your land.
This is fascinating. Again, the book, folks, The Dragon's Prophecy, it came out in September, and you've got to read this. Also, there's an audio version as well as the Kindle version, but get a copy of The Dragon's Prophecy. Of course, prophecy means there's some sort of a revelation. So what does all of this mean for us?
Well, so much. You know, the largest part of the book is called The End of Days, because there are prophetic events. Ezekiel speaks of them, and there are things linked to Revelation that are actually, we've crossed certain lines, and without going into, there's so much, we can't go into detail, but one of them, for instance, there are nations that Ezekiel speaks about that will be involved in an invasion of Israel. It's still yet to come, but the amazing thing is those nations were actually part of the invasion of Israel, behind Hamas of October 7th, for the first time ever. You know, the Bible says that Iran is going to attack Israel. Never did, directly, until this year. You know, and so all, you know, we are, and also the outbreak of anti-Israel hatred throughout the entire world. I mean, it's the most massive thing. Well, the Bible says in the last days the nations are going to come against Israel. So it's all happening. So one thing is the prophetic thing. We are to know the signs of the times. But the other thing is that, you know, I speak about the dragon. The dragon is the sign of, the symbol of the enemy in the Bible, the devil. And the thing is that it says he wars against Israel. Well, he's been warring against the Jewish people, you know, for 4,000 years. But at the same time, it also says he wars against the church or the Christ, those who follow Jesus. So we have to be ready for that. Any wars against anyone in the image of God. So as these days progress, number one, if we're living in the last days, we have to be aware of it. And if we're in a war spiritually, we got to be aware of that too, or we're not going to win. So the last part of the dragon's prophecy is, what is the war we're all dealing with, and how do you overcome, and how do you get ready for what is yet to come?
All right, Jonathan, we're going to have to leave it there. Again, folks, the name of the book, The Dragon's Prophecy, What Does the Trump Victory Mean for America and the World? It's, folks, you got to read this book, and it's going to start to make sense for you. Jonathan, congratulations. I also want to give your website a shout out, hopeoftheworld.org. That's hopeoftheworld.org. And you can get Jonathan's books wherever you buy books. All right, Jonathan, God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you, Todd.
All right. There you go, folks. Wow. Do you see how all of this is playing into biblical prophecy, as Jonathan just described? 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good buddy from radio station KXEL, Jeff Stein, joins us. Jeff, hope you're doing great today.
Not as good as you, Todd, but I still keep trying every single day.
Hey, look, there has been a huge, huge national story coming from your neck of the woods involving pollster Ann Selzer, who is now stepping aside. Of course, her poll that came out just before the election predicted a massive victory for Trump in Iowa. How did that turn out?
Yeah, when she has a poll that drops 2 days before the election saying in a stunning reversal, Kamala Harris is going to win Iowa by 4 points and Trump winds up winning by 13. Yeah, that's not a good way to go out. And the news of this is that over the weekend, she wrote a piece in the Des Moines Register, the newspaper that hired her company to do the poll. They had a business relationship for 30 years. And her story now is that before the beginning of this calendar year, she told the Register she would not be renewing her contract after November 2024. This has led a number of people to be suspicious about the timing of the announcement. What I'm waiting for is for the Register, Todd, to tell us who their new polling firm is going to be, because they've had a year, apparently, to interview and vet people. And, Yet that was not part of this announcement, which again makes us a little skeptical. This was my station's poll question of the day. Do you believe that the newspaper was told in advance? 83% of my listeners, many listening to this program right now, say they don't believe this story for a minute.
Yeah, it's somewhat dubious. I'm very curious, though, to know exactly how this woman's getting paid. You know, were there any checks coming from a Kamala Harris campaign or campaign fund or a PAC or someone who might be connected to Democrats somewhere?
I'm going to take it a little more broadly because I've never met her. I've only met the current editor of the newspaper a handful of times. But this is a Gannett-owned newspaper that was told by its corporate ownership, you cannot endorse a candidate in the election. This is also a state that had not one but two very close congressional races that the Democrats were hoping to flip back from red to blue. So for these numbers to drop, the way they did, the time that they did, it is more than a little suspicious. And you have to understand, again, the newspaper is hiring the pollster. So they have some idea of what they want to have asked and the way they want the questions to be phrased, etc. And anybody who knows anything about public opinion research knows that the way you ask the questions helps dictate the kind of response you get. I've had many pollsters over time tell me, not necessarily political pollsters, but they'll say, you tell me what you want me to find, and I'll write the questions to fit. And it's the same sort of thing here, where a newspaper that was solidly behind Democrats, just stunningly 2 days before the election, has a poll that is quite an outlier. I think it's internal groupthink. I'm not above believing that there are some payoffs, mind you, but I don't have any evidence to suggest it. But when you have a mindset that you'd like to see a certain result and numbers come in, well, you just tend to interpret them the way that fits your world view. Now, let's keep in mind one thing. We keep hearing phrases like gold standard for this pollster. But in the Democrat caucus in 2020, this was the one that Kamala Harris didn't even make the finish line to. You may recall that the Register and the Iowa Poll, which is their brand name, got together in partnership with CNN that year. And on the Saturday night before the Monday caucus, there was a big primetime special planned where they would release the final numbers of the Iowa Poll for the Democrat caucuses. And an hour before this big primetime TV show, I think Jake Tapper was already mic'd up and ready. They pulled the plug because they pulled the poll. The poll, moments before it was going to be printed, had to be pulled because it could not be verified. Why? Because some Pete Buttigieg voters complained that his name was not included in the telephone survey. Why? We found out later that the people that the poll hired to call you and ask your thoughts, they couldn't pronounce Buttigieg. So they skipped it. That's the kind
what?
Of quality. Yes. They did not know to say booty juice as you do. And so they just simply skipped it. And once they found out that that happened a couple of times, where
wow.
Again, Mayor Pete voters were saying, wait a second, we wanted to weigh in, but he wasn't listed. The pollster had to pull the plug. And you want to talk egg on your face in front of a national audience. That was just for the caucuses for the Democrats 4 years ago.
It's just shocking. Jeff Stein joining us on radio station KXEL. You know, Jeff, I want to kind of throw you for a loop here.
Sure.
We've been following over the past couple of weeks, just in the radio industry, this really devastation by some of the massive conglomerates out there. Hundreds of our colleagues across the nation getting laid off. Well-known talk radio host getting the heave-ho as well. I still believe, I am still of the opinion that radio can be done well and it can be profitable, but we got to get the conglomerates out of the way.
I am fortunate to work for a company that is based right here in my home market. They run stations in four states, about 40 stations in the Midwest. So I have the cell number of the CEO and can use it anytime. That also means they can call me, which may not be as beneficial. But just as you are doing there in Memphis with your operation, small ownership groups that are not tied to publicly traded stock, I maintain that once the broadcast networks, 45, 50 years ago, and then radio stations more recently, once they were owned by publicly traded stock companies, you lost the integrity of the product, certainly as opposed to how it was previously. And so if you've got these big conglomerates who only look at the bottom line and try to cut their way toward profitability, that's a proven recipe for failure. But yet that's what they're doing, and they're doing it, Todd, at a time when the FCC ignored foreign ownership rules so that George Soros could buy a couple of hundred radio stations that just happened to have conservative voices on them.
How about that? I'm telling you, and you guys do a great job there in your community, and again, I think it's all about the ownership. And the reality is these big conglomerates, they don't care about local markets. All they care about is Los Angeles, Chicago, New York. But even then, they're whacking those stations as well. So, you know, it's really unfortunate. But I still think radio, locally owned radio, has a bright future in this country.
It absolutely does, because it is the unifying force that we have had, the unifying communication method for a century. And it doesn't need to buffer. You don't have to worry about missing your Netflix fight because of buffering. We come through the public airwaves, and if you treat that as a public trust, as it is, the audience will respond. And if you treat it like you're producing widgets or selling breakfast cereal, the public will shy away, as they have done in some of these bigger markets with some of these corporate-owned stations.
Real quick, before we let you go, Stein, you've got your U.S. senator there. Is she going to stick with the plan? Is she going to support Donald Trump's nominees?
I have no reason to believe that either Senator Ernst or Senator Grassley are going to stray. Grassley, I just did an interview with, and he's going to be chair of the Judiciary Committee again, as well as President Pro Tem. And I asked General Principal, and he said, in his mind, generally speaking, the president gets their nominee. And he pointed out he did vote against some of Biden's, but those were special cases. And so I think people are going to stay in line. Look, Senator Ernst talked to me right before the election when she was on the trail in Georgia and even had learned the Trump dance. And so, you know, once you are on social media doing the Trump dance, it's a little hard to moonwalk your way back on that.
Fair enough.
I did there with the moonwalk?
I see what you did there. I see what you did there, Stein. And by the way, CBS... They took CBS Sports, they edited out the football player doing the Trump dance.
Well, I didn't think he did it all that well, but there was no reason to edit it out. I mean, I think that you should do a primer on your social medias of how you properly do the Trump towel dance, as I've been told it is known.
Yeah, if we're going to do a towel dance, I'll get Dieter to do that. I think it's in his contract. So,
if not, it will be.
All right. Jeff Stein, always good hearing from you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right. By the way, I got a text message from our former EP, Grace Baker. She's doing well. And Merlot won a prize, won like a blue ribbon for some sort of a contest. It was her first true trial. And Grace says she is very proud. So there you go. All right. The dog's going to be like a Hollywood star. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Bob in Morehead City, North Carolina. Hi, Bob. What's on your mind today?
A couple of points. I think Trump ought to start immediately to put in there or go to the RNC and RNC to state GOP of these rhino Republicans. If they start to wiggle and go against the agenda, they ought to get an immediate start to a recall of those senators in those states immediately, whether they're due up or not. But they should be recalled by that state that doesn't support the MAGA agenda for this country. That's point one. Mark Levin Sunday night had two super points for Trump to help this country: stop chain migration and stop birthright citizenship.
1,000%.
Absolutely.
And I know this is going to be painful. You actually had a Republican congressman, I believe, out of Texas, who's like, oh, well, we can't have Trump out there, you know, deporting our grandmas. Well, if grandma is here illegally, I'm sorry, but grandma's got to go, too. I mean, at the end of the day, you came here illegally. And you know what that tells me, Bob, is that there are some sweet, precious grandmothers waiting to get into the country, and they're being denied a place because another grandma cut the line.
Yep, get rid of the crooks and the criminals and the terrorists first.
Exactly, and then work your way down the list. Exactly. I'm with you. All right, Bob, thanks for that call. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. So, again, a couple of things here. We now know that Trump is planning on using some sort of a national emergency. He's going to declare a national emergency, if necessary, to utilize military assets to deport the invading horde of illegals. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, our nation's been invaded. All right? We've got 20, 30 million illegals here. Many of them are living off the taxpayer dime. Many of you in your towns, in your communities, you've been inundated. And so this is going to be a great reset for us. And just imagine the amount of money we're going to be able to save as taxpayers, knowing that the illegals are going back to wherever they're coming from. And by the way, I heard this argument on another national show today. That the reason why we need illegals here is because American-born citizens won't get up at the crack of dawn and pick lettuce. Well, first of all, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Second of all, if it is true, we've got even bigger problems. Because you know what? There was a time in this country where every job was important. There was a time in this country when you would get up early and you would, if you're on a farm, you get up, you milk the cows, you feed the livestock, you get out there and you do what has to be done. There was a time in this country if a man was without a job and the only job that was available was picking lettuce or cotton or whatever, he'd go out there and do that. Every job matters and every job is important. That's what Donald Trump was trying to convey to the country when he went to go work at McDonald's and worked the drive-thru. And made the most delicious, the hottest, the saltiest fries ever known to McDonald's. Donald Trump did that. Donald Trump talking to the fry guy and explaining and listening to the fry guy explain the intricacies of his job. And Trump is eating it up. And people were mocking Trump. But what Trump was doing is he was showing there is nobility in every job, even if you're the fry cook at McDonald's. Every job matters in this country. So, yeah, I hate that you are going to have some families that are going to be uprooted, but they should not have been here in the first place. And they can come back and hear me on this. That is a family that is taking a position that should have gone to a family trying to get to this country legally. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about the millions of people wanting to legally come to the greatest nation on the face of the earth. Nobody wants to do that, and they should. They should. Here's Speaker Mike Johnson, and he's talking about Trump's cabinet picks. Cut 13.
This is what I'll say about the nominees that the president has put forward, is that they are persons who will shake up the status quo. And I think what the American people have believe and what they've delivered with the mandate in this election is a demand that we shake up the status quo. It's not working for the American people. So use the term in the opening about how these are disruptors. They are. I think that's by design. Any president has the right to name their own cabinet, to nominate persons that they think will fulfill their agenda. And the people that are on this list will do that. They will go into the agencies that they're being asked to lead, and they will reform them. These agencies need reform. And I think the vast majority of the American people understand that. You can't have status quo appointments in a moment like this.
And that's a fair point. I think Johnson's nervous. And that's why he's tagging along like a little tiny brother, a baby brother to Donald J. as they're going from one event to the next. I think he understands that his future rests with Donald John Trump. Can he be the man that Trump needs him to be in the House of Representatives? I don't know. I hope so. He didn't do a very good job in the last session of Congress. I'll tell you that much. So, again, the verdict is out on Speaker Little Mikey. We're going to call him Little Mikey. Remember the commercial, the cereal commercial? Let's get Mikey. He'll eat anything. That's the vibe I'm getting here on Speaker Mike. I could be off base, but I don't think I am. Hey, look, folks, just a reminder, and you know the radio world is a crazy place, and we want to make sure you always have access to our great show. And one of the ways you can do that is by downloading our free app, and we offer that through the radio station I own. It's called KWAM Radio, KWAMRadio.com. That's KWAMRadio.com. If you go there, click on the app, you'll be able to download it free of charge. You'll be able to listen to 24 hours of great conservative talk radio. But more importantly, you'll be able to listen to my national show, noon to 3 Eastern, and you can get all of that at the KWAM website. All right, folks, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you for hanging out with us today. We're going to be back at it tomorrow. You never know what's going to happen. We should expect a few more cabinet nominations coming down the pike later today. We'll announce those on our X feed. And if you haven't followed us on X, you got to do that. We're in the algorithm, man, and it's a great place to be. All right, folks, get out there. Have a great day. You be good, America.